Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishravahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 94. He was being praised by the Vedas, or is praised in the Vedas by the works like Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Svagatim means the planet of Krishna. Svagatim, uttered by Krishna, indicates the place related to the cowherd boy. Right, because Svam means his own place. So that's his place. Because in Vaikuntha, that's his place as God. But in the place of where he's dealing with the cowherd men of Vrindavan, then that's his place.
So it's said that Krishna, he never leaves Vrindavan, but it seems from this pastime he will appear everywhere that people anybody reciprocates with him as Krishna.
That's there, but the point is, has he left Vrindavan then? See, because Vrindavan means you can say Vrindavan's a place, but actually Vrindavan is where the love of the Brajbasis is expressed in that mood of pure sweetness. That's Vrindavan. Because technically when the demons come to Vrindavan, they're not actually in Vrindavan. They're in the material world. Because them, it's just another village. It's just another place. Right? That's why, let's say, So he never leaves Vrindavan because that's where they always think of him in that way. So when he goes outside of the area of Vrindavan with Akrura, then he leaves in that mood of what's with Akrura and the Dwarkavasis. So, but in Goloka, he's all seen as one person. It's not that, oh, that's another person, he's a person, you know, that's his twin or something like that. It's that in Dwarka, he thinks that he was the one that was in Vrindavan. You understand? And when he's in Vrindavan, he's thinking, you know, he has to go to Mathura and do certain work there. Does that make sense? When he goes to Dwarka, it's still he's the same person. So it's related, he's the same person, but the point is, he doesn't deal in that same way. An example, let's say, maybe an easier example, is that, okay, you have the high court judge, okay? He's at home. He deals with his family in a particular way. His wife's telling him what to do, this and that. His kids are saying this and that. You know, the dog's barking, whatever is going on, right? And all that. Now when he leaves the home and goes down to court, he's no longer the family man, but is he a different person? No, he's the same person, just the mood's different, because now everyone deals with, now he's the boss. You know, when he walks in, everyone stands up. What he says, that's what happens. So all the barristers, everyone deal with him as he's the superior person. They don't deal with him as an equal. Right? Another high court judge might, they like that, but they'll have their seniority, this, that, blah. And that. And so as soon as he gets home, then again he's back into that mood. So that mood that he has at home never leaves home. But not that when he's at court he doesn't occasionally think of them, just like Krishna and Dwarka will think of them in Vrindavan. So then he's in that mood. Right? But as soon as then someone interacts, then he's back. You know, so he sees that was the whole pastime with Gopal Kumar. And not in Gopal Kumar, it was in the other one. But where Krishna's in Dwarka, and then something came up, and then he went into that mood. And so then they created this whole Gupta Vrindavan, right, just for that. And it's all going on nicely until he goes down to the Jamuna, you know, the body of water there, and it being the ocean, then you look across, the, you know, it's a little bigger than the Jamuna normally is, and when he looks across, there's this huge, you know, fortress city in the middle of the ocean. And then it's kind of like, what's going on here? Where, you know, where is that? You know, he can't place where that is in Vrindavan. And then slowly he comes back to, they start glorifying in that, and then he's Dwarka Krishna. Right? So it's a mood change. It's the same person. It's just a mood change. So that mood of him being in Vrindavan doesn't leave Vrindavan. So this idea is, oh, he's there, this is a different Krishna. No, it's just a different mood of the same Krishna. Because technically as Vaikunthapati, he's also the same person. Just now it's you know, rooted in on reverence, because that's how the devotees are. So some devotees were making the points about Krishna and Vishnu, and Prabhupada said, don't make so much difference. They're the same person. You know, so it's Krishna who's his Paramatma, because we only deal with him as the Lord in the heart. He reciprocates as the Lord in the heart, but it's Krishna.
So does that mean that Vrindavan manifests anywhere that the devotees manifest the mood of Vrindavan?
Yes, that's what it says. Lord Chaitanya, wherever he is, that's Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. So any devotee who's always absorbed in Krishna, wherever they are, that's Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said, where, you know, he was talking about, I think it's a conversation, or it's the lecture or that in Melbourne. He's there and he's talking about how this is Vrindavan. Because Krishna's here, we're worshipping Krishna, we're seeing this, how it is Vrindavan. So that means any place where one is absorbed in Krishna, then that's Vrindavan. So does that make sense? So everyone in Mayapur, then everyone's absorbed in where? Vrindavan. So therefore it is Vrindavan. But this is the Vrindavan that's how you approach and get to the other Vrindavan. You know, you understand?
Yeah.
By location. Does that make sense? You see, generally anybody who lives in Mayapur or likes to spend time in Mayapur will visit Vrindavan. Right? Very standard. One or two, they don't have time, but if they have time, they'll always visit Vrindavan. But those who go to Vrindavan, many times they never come to Mayapur. So it's a different, they can't see the non-difference, but those who live here see the non-difference. Is that something?
Yeah. Maharaj, yes. So, as you mentioned, that the same person with a different mood. Hence, when the acharyas say that Krishna in Vaikuntha, Dwarka and Braja is Purna, Purnottara, Purnottama, is from the point of view of the devotees, not from his...
Means Krishna is complete. That he's always complete. It's just what flavor he's interacting with the devotees. So it's not that if he's in Dwarka, he's less complete. It's just he's only manifesting how much is necessary to interact with the devotees. Like if he showed up in the Sudharma assembly hall, you know, dressed like a cowherd boy in his flute and all that, then it's kind of like, you know, okay, you know. Especially if he comes in with all the cows and, you know, they start throwing the lunches around, you know, it's not going to work. You know, they may be attracted and all that, but they won't be able to maintain it. They'll find it attractive, but they're not going to give up their position, their kings, or this. Just like Lakshmi, she's attracted by Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, but she won't give up the idea that it's her husband that's doing that. So therefore, she can't enter Vrindavan. You understand? So the mood is the whole thing. That's what's going on. There's one Krishna. That's why he says he's non-dual. There's only Krishna. Right? But it's just a matter of the mood in which you interact. So when they say Braja Krishna, that means Krishna, where Radharani, Nanda, Jashoda, and the other devotees of Vrindavan are interacting with him. Right? And so that's Vrindavan. You understand? So, yes. Okay.
Prabhuji, as we as Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different to Lord Krishna, and we are eternal, we are always attached to the Srimad Bhagavatam, so we are also the eternal associate of Lord Krishna, not?
No, we're associating with Krishna. Means the soul by nature is supposed to be in that position, but he has to take it up. To function it, you have to do it. You know what I'm saying? Someone goes to law school, but unless they practice law, you can't really call them a lawyer. Right. You know? So like that. It's the nature he couldn't do. So the soul's nature is to serve Krishna. But when they take it up and do it, then that's when you identify them by that position. Okay? Okay. Swam Gatim, uttered by Krishna, indicates the place related to the cowherd boy. Sukadeva mentions Lokam Swam Gopanam. This clearly indicates Krishna's planet, related to the cowherds. Right? So it's not Vaikuntha. Though he is manifesting Vaikuntha, but he himself, because of their love for him, is still in his place. Right? By mentioning Krishna directly, this verse indicates that this place is different from other Vaikunthas and establishes this place as the highest abode, Brahma said previously. Right? So, therefore, he being in his place with these devotees, then it's in a higher place than we see in Vaikuntha, simply because the depth of affection is greater. Because they're shown liberation, they're shown all these other things, all the points of liberation, but they're not interested. Just that interaction, that service to Krishna and that full surrender, that's more attractive. Therefore, they're only absorbed in that. So Lord Brahma said, Ah, nya pritam nishi shayanam ati shramena lokam vaikuntam upaneshyati gokulam sma. Okay, saying it very simply. He's using the sma. He will take the inhabitants of Braja, who will be busy looking for or engaged in serving Nanda and Krishna all day, and fall asleep exhausted all night. To Vaikuntha, Aloka, to Gokula. Right, so he's saying that he will do this, right? The place Gokula is the essence of all things. One can attain Swarga by sense control. One can attain Vaikuntha beyond matter, Brahmaloka, Paragati. Residents of the Prema Bhaktas having controlled minds by concentrating the mind on Vishnu with the intention of attaining Vaikuntha. Bhagavatam explains that Krishna frees the cows and all beings from the heat of the day. Mochayan Vraja Gavam Dina Tapam. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:35-25. The place, by its very nature, destroys all problems for all the inhabitants of Vraja, because it is controlled by the actions of persons dedicated to serving there with suitable mood. This place is difficult to attain because of the rarity of this type of mood. Right? So it's the mood that makes the place. That's why catching the mood of the spiritual master, catching the mood of the Sampradaya, that's the most important thing. We may get distracted, oh, we're in the modern age, this, that, blah, we have to take up this mood, that mood. You can, but the problem is those moods situate you in those places. Well, the mood of Braja, that situates you in Braja. It's that simple. So it's just a matter of where you want to be. Because the mood means then how you identify, how you see the goal, therefore how you're going to apply yourself. So the mood is there in all things. Right? The modern thing we compartmentalize. So it means it does have the thing, I'm going to be effective. Therefore, you know, who am I? What's the situation? What knowledge is required? What can I get done to effectively get my particular goal? But the problem is it's not, doesn't have the aspect of personalness. It's impersonal. Because it's just about effectiveness in manipulating the material energy. Well, then here, then we see the mood then is about that devotion to Krishna. And devotion to Krishna simply for his pleasure. You know, so what he would like in that mood of sweetness. So that then creates Vrindavan. And if it's the same thing but with opulence, then that's Vaikuntha. And if it's just the transcendental position, that's Brahman. Right? Yes?
We understand that the mood is the most subtle thing. So, for example, with Srila Prabhupada, he manifested that sweet mood, you know, in the very beginning as a Swamiji.
Right.
Then he shifted to Prabhupada, actually. He told the devotees, you know, Swamiji is not first class.
Right.
And then they asked him, and he gave them the options. And then he shifted to the mode of the acharya. So we're not sure, you know, how to relate. Although that sweet mood was always there, but it was hidden for most everybody because he became an acharya, the world acharya.
Yes. But the point is that his position is that of the acharya, but that aspect of the sweetness is there because we see it in his instructions, how he deals with the devotees. So those who knew him in that way, then he continued to interact like that. That didn't change. The point is, but the position of him being the acharya has to be established so that you can actually expand the movement. Otherwise, then they all just sit around there down in the lower room of 22nd Avenue and just hang out, rather than if he's the acharya, then they have to do something. You know? So those who were doing, they still had that close relationship. Like that. It may not have had that form of that they're sharing the bathroom and Prabhupada's standing in the line. That's because they don't know who he is and what the etiquette is. If they knew, then they would, you know, behave nicely. But that sweetness aspect is there. Because why is that? Because we're dealing here is that with Krishna, there's the aspect of the variety of rasas. Right? But with Lord Chaitanya, it's servitorship. With Radharani, it's servitorship. With the spiritual master, it's servitorship. So that's the position of, that's the natural relation. It's not that it's not close and everything and nice, but there's that aspect of servitorship. So it's that mood is there, is that one is one has a particular rasa with Krishna, but with these others, then that rasa is already established. But in the spiritual world, that's seen as friendship, but it's expressed through servitorship. Does this make any sense?
Yes, it does. I'm just trying to...
No, but that's because you're dealing with, how you say... It means you have to be careful in saying this, because there were people who were not Yahoos. Right? Does that make any sense? Yahoo. It's an American term meaning kind of a wild, crazy person that doesn't really follow any rules, or... We don't have such a term.
Yeah, we have a term, but I don't see the connection.
Who is at 22nd Avenue? Except for a couple of... Satsarup Maharaj, he was a teacher. He actually had a job. Brahmananda was, I think, working someplace. He had a job. Right, that, you know. Bhavananda, he came. He was, you know, properly situated. You know, so a few others were. But all the young guys, they were all yahoos. You know? You know what I'm saying? You know, here and there. Dwaita Maharaj is very intelligent, you know, very educated. So... individuals may not be, but the general case was you're dealing with a bunch of yahoos. So therefore, they don't know how to behave. You know, like we said, is that for the first some time, while they're still at 22nd Avenue, however long they were there, so within that time, that it was a guest. You know, they became a devotee, but it was a guest who figured out that Prabhupada was doing all the cooking, doing the serving, and then after they'd all leave, he'd do the whole cleanup. Clean the floor, clean everything. Clean the pots, clean the kitchen. Only because he didn't know what was going on and they invited him up. So after eating, they all went, washed their hands, and went back downstairs. And then they were just sitting there because they didn't know what to do. And they saw Prabhupada coming and picking things up. So he said, can I help? And so then he was helping and he helped clean up and that. And so it was a long time before he came back down. So everyone else was figuring they'll come down with him. They didn't come down. And they probably didn't notice so much either. But when he did come down, it's like, what were you doing so long? Because, you know, for them, that's, you know, sitting and talking with Prabhupada, all this or that. And then he mentioned what they were doing. They were washing, cleaning, and doing all that. And it was kind of like, wow. So after that, then the devotees started helping Prabhupada. So that's what we're saying, is that they don't know. So that's why you just slowly, slowly introduce. So as they understood, then Prabhupada would confirm it and then stick it to that point. But if they were at a lower point, just, you know, he tried to bring out the best. And then when they'd understand more of his position, then that would become established. And then and then as it moved up, then it was. So as even now, Prabhupada as the founder acharya isn't so well understood. He's mentioned as founder acharya, okay, that he's, you know, he started ISKCON, you know. But then I've seen other devotees use the founder term. Not acharya, but founder of, you know, what is it? Kausap or... This cow, or International Society for Protection of Cow Protection, or something like that. you know, or, you know, the founder of New Vrindavan. You know, so it just became a term, and people just found this and found that, and then they have to have their name on and this and that. So they just figure it's just the standard thing you do. They don't understand founder Acharya is not the one who started ISKCON. Yes, he did do that. But he's the founder Acharya, like Ramanuja Acharya is for the Shris. Madhva is for the, you know, the Brahma Sampradaya. Vishnu Swami Nimbarka for their Sampradayas. So that's not really understood. If you say it, nobody's going to oppose it. You know, unless you're from another mat, then they'll definitely get all grumpy. So, but it doesn't matter. Even we call them ISKCON founder Acharya, it doesn't matter because the other ones don't want to follow anyway, so they're not going to care. So, but that he came to establish the mission and he makes no mistakes. Otherwise, some say, okay, that was good for the 60s, but now we got to do something different. No, you don't. The Madhvas are still following the same traditions they followed when Madhvacharya was here. What was it, 700 years ago? You know, and the Shris are still following, and that was 1,200? 1,000? 1,000 years ago. And the Shankarites are still following that, and what he did, and that was 1,200 years ago. Right? The Nimbarkas are still doing their thing. The Vallabhas are still doing their thing. We as Gaudiyas are using what Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis gave. It still works. You know, that's the thing, is that we're looking at it that it's all time-bound, because what we're working with is always bound by time. As the modes change, everything changes. The different people at the different times, they all have different natures. You know, so then that's how you say it. It's all, you say. So we're used to that, but when you're dealing with what's eternal, it isn't bound by time. And so it always is functional. So that's it, is who has given the instructions on how to apply the instructions of the previous acharyas, you know, headed by Rupa Goswami, for the next 10,000 years, that's Prabhupada. So that's the whole thing, is that when that's appreciated, that the founder acharya has done that, then it makes some sense about 10,000 years. Otherwise, yeah, he was here and he did. The mission will go for 10,000 years, but they don't understand how it'll go for 10,000 years. Because that's one of the things, is the acharya knows the length of his mission. Like that. He may or may not say it. I don't know if Ramanuja said it. But there's a time when they're there. And then with Lord Chaitanya, then that comes out. And then you prepare. Now with the founder acharya, you do what Srila Prabhupada did. You're successful in preaching. You don't do what he did, you are not successful in preaching. It's that simple. So, because he's the one that establishes it. Right? Is that what he says? The Shris still do their Shri stuff. It still attracts Shri people. It still works. Even though they may be all bankers and IT, they still like to come around and, you know, put on their dhoti and do the things that they do. It still does. But so that's the point, is you do what Lord Chaitanya gave through the acharyas. As the founder gives it, it will work for the next 10,000 years. Prabhupada said, he's built a structure, we just have to fill it in. You know, fill it in means put in a window and a door. Not, you know, what kind of foundation it is, or how many stories it is, or this or that. That's not. It's already, the building's there. We just have to fill it in and use it. And Prabhupada's even instructed how to fill it in. What is a window? What is a door? How to open the door? How to close the door? How to not let the door blow closed by the wind? You know, he's already instructed these things, so we just have to do it. So there's no speculation, it's just applying it. So,
as you mentioned several times, is that the basic relationship with the spiritual master is dasya, but yes. Then it turns into friendship.
But that's in the spiritual world.
Okay.
Here it's always maintained like that. Because in the spiritual world, the relationship between all living entities is friendship. One living entity to another, they're all friends. It may be senior or junior friends, but it's friends.
So even among all rasas, it's all based on
friendship. Yeah, friends. But it's just a matter of whether that rasa, you know, it's just like you have a friend. That means you have another acquaintance. You know, will their match with you? But otherwise, your dealings is always with friendship. Right? There'll be senior, junior, equals, you know, confidential, that aspect, because friendship has those four aspects. Right? So then within that will be there. But it's always going to have that aspect of friendship. So the guru is always going to be senior. He's going to be the senior friend. That's always going to be there. Is that... Okay, so that's the whole point. Prabhupada's mood on how you go, how you preach, how you see everything in relationship to Krishna. Maintain your standards, maintain the purity of Krishna consciousness, but find a way somehow or another to get it to be appreciated. Right? So it means you're considering the external circumstances and the consciousness of the individuals, but you're not taking it the external circumstances are the cause of bhakti. Right? So therefore, how to get this through in that point? What's the common point? Right? People are, why would they come to, let's say you have a program on spiritual life, why would people come? Right? They're going to come because of artha, artarti, jigyasu, or jnani, jnana. Right? It's one of these four. Right? Unless they're already a devotee and they're coming because they heard someone's in town and they're giving a class. Right? But they're going to come because of these four. So that means they're looking for a solution to the anxiety they have from being in the material world. Right? Whether it's physical, emotional, intellectual, you know, like this. That's what they're looking for. So that's what you give according to their nature of what you're dealing with there. But it's not that, oh, we have to present with this or that. No, it's a matter of Krishna consciousness being the source of all this. If this is a reflection, it's just like this. Do I need to change my form for the reflection in the mirror? No, the reflection in the mirror comes from the original form. So we don't have to change Krishna consciousness for the environment, because whatever is in the environment comes originally from Krishna consciousness. It's just that it may be a very distant form of that. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like if you look in the mirror and it happens to be Halloween, so instead of seeing your arm, you see a skeleton. But the point is as you move your arm, that skeleton arm moves. And you move your fingers, and they do, and like that. So it has its distance, but it's still, the principles are still the same, because that's where they're from. If we think that they're separate, that's Maya. That's where the illusion is. It's all Krishna. So it's not different from Krishna. So their need for these things, who arranged that? Krishna. Who controls the modes? Krishna. How are things successful? Because of following the laws that Krishna gives, whether they know them or not. But they're following them. So they're either following them by they have the knowledge and they apply it, or they just have some leftover karma, some residue karma, in which they have the practice, so they just do it. Right? Just like you do something for some time with knowledge, and then there are times where without thinking you can just do it. So if they're born in the West and they have abilities and successful, it just means they're running on that. They did it before with knowledge and all that. And now it's just what's left over. They don't know the connection to the Veda. It's just whatever's left over that they're doing by habit. And so depending upon their karma, that karma goes for some times or it runs out. Right? Like you see someone like Mozart. He's 6 years old. He's the court musician for the queen. Or the empress, actually. Right? And so, but then, at the end of his life, he was a nobody. Does that make sense? So that's just the way it goes. And while some people, they're nobodies in the beginning, and then at the end of the life, they're somebody. Right? There's some people that they were nobody at the beginning, nobody at the middle, and nobody at the end. Right? Like that. And there's some people that their whole life it goes nicely. So that just means so much karma. The next life, it'll run out. Or their life, maximum it'll go for 2.5 lives. At some point, it runs out. So if he was so good at 6, that means his last life he was so good. And recognizing this and that. But it runs out. Right? Why? Because they're not following the pious lifestyle recommended in the Vedas. They can't maintain it. That's the whole problem. Does that make sense? That's why you can see, you have a businessman here, he can go from here to the west and make money. How many businessmen from the west can come here and make money, right? Not so many, a few, but not so many. So that's it. Just because they live that lifestyle, they have that piety, they can carry it wherever it goes. So it's not limited by the place.
Maharaj, it says over here that the Brajvasis, they serve, you know, with a suitable mood. So can we say that mood is simply a generic term, whereas the rasas that come, they are specific for that?
Mood is generic and rasas are specific. Means these moods are specific, but then you could say the particular rasas are details within that mood, because the mood of Vaikuntha is one thing, the mood of Dwarka is another, Ayodhya, Mathura, these are all different moods. Within that, then there's specific rasas. You know, because the residents of Vrindavan, the Brajabasis, it's all one generic mood of all that full surrender to Krishna. Then within that, they have their specific relationships. So that means the mood is all the same. That's why it's one realm. Otherwise, if you had others there, it doesn't work. Like we see Gopu Kumar, who's from Vrindavan, and he's in Vaikuntha, it doesn't work. Does that make sense? So that's the... Yes? This pleasant Vrindavan is my only abode. There all cows, animals, birds, insects, and humans are without death. Those who live under my mercy come to my abode on dying. Right? So here you live without death, but those who, after dying, then they go to this place with no death. So you always have these seeming contradiction elements there. The daughters of the cowherd men live in my abode. Completely giving up all connections, they serve me continually. This place, measuring 5 yojanas, is not different from my body. The Jamuna, flowing with the sweetest nectar, is the Shushumna, central nerve of that body. All the devas and elements exist there with spiritual forms. The embodiment of all devas, I do not leave that forest for a moment. Though I appear and disappear in this world, age after age, but this radiant forest full of pleasure is visible, invisible to the material eye. So Gotamiya Tantra. Right? That's what he was quoting before, no? He was mentioning works like Gopal Tapani, okay. And so then
Tantras are part of what scriptures?
They're all part of the Pancharatrik group. Because they're all paravidya. They're all transcendental knowledge. Tantra just means the particular kind of the rituals. They're more these shorter rituals with these short Lamula mantras and things like that. That aspect. They just have a slightly different flavor. I'm sure there's a more detailed definition. So you have the agamas, which are all the different things, or you can say ekaina, which is focused just on the Lord. So then you'll have the tantras, you'll have the pancharatra, and you'll have the vaikanas, like that. So whether it's focused on Vedic mantras for performing the ritual, whether it's focused on tantric mantras to perform the rituals, or whether it's a mix of both. So pancharatra is a mix of both. So ours uses both of those. Like you see, sometimes there's Vedic mantras in the stuff we do. Like that. But they're all for the purpose of worshipping Krishna. Yeah. Krishna, who plays eternally with his associates in Goloka, which is a particular manifestation of Vrindavana, manifesting within invisible forests on earth. Aprakata pastimes. Okay, aprakata pastimes. Appears sometimes with his associates in the material world with visible form. Prakat pastimes. Means he's always performing his pastimes here because it's the spiritual world. But because we have material forms and senses, occasionally then he manifests so that even with material senses you can see. Right? So that's the meaning of those who are living in the Dham or those who are living there with material forms, then when they leave the body, then they take birth, they're in that apricot pastime. But those who are in the apricot pastime, then that's eternal. Nobody dies there. Right? These associates are eternally present with Krishna. This is understood from scriptures which describe worship of Krishna with his devotees. When the associates appear in many forms, just as Vasudeva appeared in 16,000 forms, along with his queens and Dwarka at each wedding, the Lila Shakti, controlled by Prema, to nourish the rasa of the pastimes, produces a separate identity for each form, which does not search out the other forms, since they do not make use of their eternal powers at that time. Right? So each form, then, is there, but Krishna's not trying to find the other Krishnas and all that. He just does what his activity with that queen, and that's all. So in one palace, he's there in one form with one queen, and that's all. And then when he walks to Sudharma Hall, yes. Then here he goes to that, the assembly hall. Then when he goes there, then he slowly all comes together, so one Krishna enters, but then when he goes back, then he goes back into six. So Lila Shakti arranges that, because it's through his internal potency that he manifests his form, you know, according to the nature of the devotee. He is everything, but he, according to the devotee, that's how he manifests. Krishna showed them Goloka, a special manifestation of Vrindavan, situated here, Aprakata Vrindavan. Since the forms of Prakat and Aprakat Vrindavan are actually non-different. So they then saw the Aprakat. They were in the Prakat, they saw the Aprakat, but they're actually identical. He did not reveal intimate associates other than the cowherds who were observing that place, since those intimate associates would be there. Aprakat duplicates, right? So he only revealed who was there in the form that they were in there. Otherwise, a Nanda Baba meets Nanda Baba, that's gonna be a bit freaky. Yeah, so he doesn't do that. Yes?
So, for the residents of Vrindavan, those two places are non-different because they carry the same impressions.
Yes.
So, And with the same bodies, they travel from one place
to another. Yeah, because it's eternal. Or they even expand, you know, because Krishna's in so many universes, so these eternals, so they expand with each universe. Mm-hmm. While the sadhakas, then they are just in that one universe and that one pastime, and then they go to Goloka. But the eternal associates, they're with them all, because if it's one 11th of a second is going on here, when that 11th of a second moves to the next universe, then there needs to be a Nanda Baba there too. Mm-hmm. Right, so then that means it's unlimited, the pastimes, and those places he's eternally there anyway. So it's just that it's become prakat that we can see it, but otherwise you're eternally going on. So because they're in the prakat lila, he shows the aprakat, but doesn't show them themselves. He just shows the place and all that. So. Yeah.
The prakata pastimes are more merciful because
the prakat mess. He's in saying this is that Krishna's mercy is that he is showing those, because it's not that the prakat pastimes are more merciful than the aprakat. It's because you couldn't function in the aprakat, so that's why then they function as prakat, so that we can take part. So I wouldn't do that. You know, it's a matter of what's accessible. That's what we'll say. So the prakat, yes, that's Krishna's mercy that he comes as the prakat, but the pastimes are the same. So how can we say it's...
In the sense that many are attracted because...
Many are attracted, that's because you can see them.
Yeah.
But that's Krishna's arrangement, that's his mercy, but it's the same pastimes. So by his mercy, he makes the aprakat pastimes available. You can see them sometimes. Yeah. Right? So that's what's special. Not that, oh, these are better than those. No, they're the same. Just like Gokul pastimes are the same as the Braja Vrindavan and Goloka pastimes. The place is non-different. So for them, it's one place. So because here you have in the Prakat Lila, you have all the aspects of them getting married, doing all the different things and all that. Therefore, in the Aprakat Lila, they don't have to mention, because it's already there. And if they do talk about it, then they'll be talking about it in relationship to the Prakat pastimes. So for them, it's all one pastime, because it's already done there. You don't have to do it again. You know what I'm saying? So the couple is married in Bombay, and then they're, you know, wherever else they are, happen to be there. So when they talk about the wedding, what are they talking about it? According to there. right? It's not that it changes, because it's for them, it's all they're one, you know, one couple, mm-hmm. like that. So the same way as the prakat pastimes that are where, by Krishna's mercy, then they can be appreciated, they can be seen, we can take part. Right? Because the aprakat, you have to be on the platform of prema. Without being on the platform of prema, you can be take part in the prakat pastimes. So it's Krishna's mercy that that's there, but it's not that the other pastimes, these are better because they're the same. It's just an arrangement, you can take part. He's just like, the doctor is doing his medicine stuff, right? He has all his same medicine, his same this, his same that, right? And then he does a camp, right? And he sets up his whole scene. But now there, anybody can come. So now is it different? He's a different doctor, it's different medicine, it's different things. When he uses the stethoscope, it's a different thing. It's all the same. It's just that because of his kindness, therefore, then he manifests so that everyone can take part. But it's the same thing. Yeah.
You mentioned 11th of the second is the duration of the pastime.
11th is the second is how much, what's the amount of time that we can perceive. So that means every moment that happens here, as it passes, it's happening in the next universe. Right? And then as that movie, it's in the next universe. It's in the next universe. Like that. The point is, this is pastimes are going on. So whenever a pastime finishes here, it's in the next universe. So we're just bringing out the point that there, you know, there's the Lord is expanded, his associates are expanded, they're all going on. So the Lord has unlimited forms, then by his grace his devotees have. Does that make sense? Because these are the eternal, you know, these are the main players. We're not the main players, so we just take part in one of them. Right? But that's good enough. Don't worry, you won't feel left out. Yes.
When the creation is not there, then that time?
Then they're still there. That's why it says eternal.
So what's the question?
The pastimes are still going on. So whether they're manifest that you can see them or not, that's another thing. That was the whole, I think it was Markandeya. When it was the disillusion, he could see, I think it was Jagannath Puri.
Yeah, Jagannath.
You know, it's still the same. It's non-different. It's not affected by the... Yeah. It means the prakat aspect may be, but the aprakat's not. Right?
That's the personifications of the scriptures.
Thus the personifications of the scriptures who are praising Krishna were not intimate associates, similar to regular Vandis who travel from place to place. Having the cowherds see the scriptures praise Krishna was to establish his credibility. So, one of the ways to establish your credibility is the personified Vedas, then they come and speak your glories. And so, if you're... So... kind of reserved, right? Yeah, so that these aren't associates, these are just personified Vedas that are there, and so then they've come to take part in these pastimes. But they're not eternal associates. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds, right, because they're performing the pastime there, but that's not a pastime of there. So he's showing Vaikuntha, but at the same time he's maintaining his mood of Krishna and Braja. Seeing Mahavaikuntha, the coward men were filled with the highest bliss. This is because the experience of Vrindavan in Goloka, of Vaikuntha, was similar to the Vrindavan on earth. But when they searched for Krishna, with the lotus face, covered with drops of perspiration, pushable by millions of their life heirs, seeing him, they were astonished to see him being praised by the meters of verse personified. They thought, where have these effulgent beings praising Krishna come from? They are unknown to us, but we cannot ask them who they are. Though seeing us, he does not show his boyish manners and come towards us. He does not embrace us with his two arms, and we are restrained from approaching him and taking him on our laps. Today he has forgotten hunger and thirst. How can his mother live without feeding him? In this way they were astonished. And then he brought it back to his standard mood. Because they're thinking like this, seeing this, they're just thinking, well, he has no hunger, no thirst, you know, all these things, so how is his mother going to be happy? You know, how is she going to? So because of that, then it comes back. Yoga Maya sent by the Leela Shakti then brought them back to earthly Vrindavan. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained this fact in a verse in Stavamala. May you be protected by Mukunda, who in order to teach the cowherd men that there is no place as sweet as earthly Vrindavan, showed them effortlessly Vaikuntha and then brought them back to earthly Gokula. Okay. So. So, then in the next part, so chapters 29 to 33. Chapter 29, Krishna and the gopis meet for the rasa dance. Chapter 30, the gopis search for Krishna. 31, the gopis' song of separation. 32, the reunion. And 33, the rasa dance. Preface. From Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Sardartha Darshani 10.29.1. In these five chapters, 29 to 33, which are like the five life heirs, Srila Sukadeva Goswami describes the rasa lila of Krishna, the crown jewel of all pastimes. Glory to the rasa for bestowing auspiciousness to the gopis situated on earth, who brought the highest rasa of Goloka down to this earth planet. When Krishna was 7 years old, during the Kartik month, on the dark moon Titi, Krishna argued according to Karma Vad and prevented the sacrifice to Indra. The next day, on the first day of the waxing moon, the inhabitants of Braja observed the festival of Govardhan Puja. On the second day of the waxing moon, they celebrated Bratri Dvitiya on the bank of the Jamuna with a feast. Though Sukadev Goswami does not describe this pastime, it is understood. Then Indra uttered words of anger, and on the third Titi, till the Navami, Krishna held up Govardhan. On the Dasami, the cowherd men discussed the incident with amazement. On the Ekadasi, Surabhi performed Abhishek of Krishna. On the Dwadasi, he went to Varuna Loka to retrieve his father. On the Purnima, they had Darshan of Brahma Loka, Vaikuntha. With that, autumn season was finished. With the next Janmastami, Krishna turned 8 years old. On the full night moon of Ashwin month, Krishna performed Rasa Lila. Full night of Ashwin. Yeah, so Ashwin is the one just before Kartik. So that's the Purnima where we generally start the Kartik Vrata. It's actually the day before the month starts, but we start from the Purnima, so from that one. Anyone who faithfully hears or describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis in Vrindavan will attain the Lord's pure devotional service. Thus, he will quickly become sober and conquer lust, the disease of the heart. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-39.
So who rasa lila perform? One is in the month of Ashwin, and then the rasa.
That's there means, but the first one was done is that the Purnima of Ashwin. Mm-hmm. Then after that, he has it quite regularly, not on a daily basis. Okay? But this that was you would say the Maharas, right?
Rasa is a Maharas.
Yeah. So that one is the Maharas.
In the month of Ashwin.
Yes, means are the first one you could say. Then whether he had the big rasas after that were on that time or at this second one, it doesn't matter. It means these are all when he goes out with the gopis, but this was the first time he performed. Right? This pastime happened, he was 7. Then when he just turned 8, then it happened. Mm-hmm. Chapter 29, Krishna and the gopis meet for the rasa dance. Pratigya. The gopis simply thought of Krishna as their lover and associated with him in that intimate mood. Thus their karmic bondage was nullified. Chapter 29 summarizes questions and answers. Maharaj Parikit asked Srila Sukadeva Goswami Krishna question 10.17 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Parikit Maharaj said, O sage, the gopis knew Krishna only as their lover, not as the supreme absolute truth. So how could these girls, their minds caught up in the waves of the modes of nature, free themselves from material attachment? Srila Sukadeva Goswami answers his questions in verse 13 through 16. Adhyaya Prakashika. In this chapter, there's a description of the Chataki-like gopis' attraction to the sound of the flute and rough rein of language employed by Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, and his disappearance. Footnote 1. The Chataki bird only takes water falling directly from the rain cloud and not from any other source. So only if it rains, then. So the, how you say, the Chataki birds would do quite well over here. Right?
And what the poor bird does when it doesn't rain for humans?
Either go somewhere else or head to London or something. There it never doesn't rain, you know. So. Yeah, I'm sure they have their system. Remember, so the chataki means only water directly falling from the rain cloud. So they're only hearing nectar that's falling from Krishna. They're only absorbed in Krishna. They're only interested in Krishna. Right? Remembering the promise he made to the gopis when he had stolen their clothes, Lord Krishna employed his yoga maya potency and manifested within himself the desire to enjoy pastimes during the autumn night. During an autumn night. Thus he began to play his flute. When the gopis heard the flute's sound, the impulses of Cupid were violently aroused within them, and they immediately abandoned all their household duties and hastily went to Krishna. All the gopis had purely spiritual bodies, but when some of the gopis' husbands and other family members stopped the young girls from going, Lord Krishna arranged for them to temporarily exhibit material bodies, which they then left at the sides of their husbands. In this way, they deceived their relatives and went off to meet Krishna. When the gopis came before Lord Krishna, he asked, Why have you come? It is not good for you to travel in such a place in the dead of night, for this forest is full of violent creatures. Your husbands and children will soon come searching after you and bring you home and again engage you in your household duties. After all, the primary religious duty of a woman is to serve her husband and children. For a respectable woman to consort with a paramour is totally contemptible and sure to obstruct her progress to heaven. Moreover, one develops pure love for me not by physical proximity, but by hearing topics connected with me, by viewing my deity form in the temple, by meditating upon me, and by faithfully chanting my glories. Therefore, all of you would do best to return home. Right? So it's not that because the devotee is is in touch with Krishna, that's why then they develop this. It's because they associate with Krishna through all these other aspects. Hearing and chanting about Krishna, associating with the devotees, associating with the deities, like this. Then in these forms of Krishna, then that's how one comes to that platform. Right? Because that's how you'll get to that platform. Because we'll see as we go on that those gopis who didn't focus that much on Krishna exclusively, means they were focused on Krishna, but not exclusively. They didn't get the association of the Lord's eternal associates, and therefore they didn't come to that platform that qualified them to go to the Rasa dance. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's not that associated with Krishna will create it. It's by these other aspects that you come to the platform, then you can fully appreciate and take advantage. So even though they have that full attention on Krishna, they don't actually have the proper balance of that. And their pride in that, we'll see then, things don't work out so well. The gopis were crestfallen to hear this, and after crying a little, they replied with a bit of anger, It is very unfair for you to reject young girls who have abandoned everything in their lives and come to you with the exclusive desire to serve you. By serving our husbands and children, we receive only pain. Whereas by serving you, the dearmost soul of all living beings, we will perfectly fulfill the true religious duty of the self. So it's not that they don't know his position, but it just doesn't matter. You understand? That's the whole point, is that for the Brajbasis, their love is so great, it doesn't matter. Uh, Whereas by serving you, the dearmost soul of all living beings, we will perfectly fulfill the true religious duty of the self, which is to surrender to Krishna. What woman will not deviate from her prescribed duties as soon as she hears your flute song and sees your form, which enchants the three worlds? Just as the Supreme Lord Vishnu protects the demigods, you destroy the unhappiness of the people of Vrindavan. Therefore, you should immediately relieve the torment we have felt because of separation from you. Wanting to please the gopis, Lord Krishna, who is always satisfied in himself, responded to their appeals by playing with them in various pastimes. But when this show of attention made them a little proud, he humbled them by suddenly disappearing from the arena of the rasa dance. So that's the whole point, is that that mood has to be right. So they have that attraction, so that's proper. And they want to just serve Krishna and please him, but there's this pride. Because it can't be there. Krishna's not proud of his position unless it deserves showing. But what position is that where he shows that pride? Generally. That, you know, a position, that's dhirodhata. Right? So then that he generally shows that to establish what things are right. So they showed the pride, so then he then shows the correct position. Right? So, but here they're showing that, you know, that pride with the man, but then it's about him. They were proud because of themselves, their own position. So then Krishna left. Right? We'll see that in detail when it comes.
The missing of one's free will.
Sorry?
Pride, the missing of one's free will.
Pride, misuse of, yeah, you could say it's a misuse of the pre-war. It's just that, but they were proud of their position in connection to Krishna. So even that Krishna doesn't want. So people are proud due to their conditioning. That's absolutely useless, right? But the pride in connection with Krishna, then that has some validity, but it has to go to a point that in this, it's not going to work. Right? Hanuman's proud, he's a servant of Ram and all that, and he shows that, and it's part of the whole chivalrous thing, that he comes there, he burns Lanka, he gives them so much trouble, like that. You know, like that. So he destroys the Ashokavan. You know, but that pride was being used in the Lord's service. This is just the proud. So it's not, it didn't have that service aspect. So they weren't acting in the present. Does that make sense? They were thinking, oh, my position is so important, but if that means it's already in the past, you're thinking of the past. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Natai Gaura Prabhupada ki.